Welcome to Veteran Voices Sith Rep with your hosts, Tom and Chris Faust.
Welcome to Veteran Voices, where we talk about subjects of interest to veterans and just whatever else comes to mind as we go. Today, we want to just kind of talk a little bit between each other about our experience, how we decided to join the military, what our experience might have been like while we were there, things that we're thinking about in the future, and you know, that kind of stuff. So first, Chris, I just wanted to see, you know, it's like what motivated you to join, not that I don't know this already, but other people don't. Right. What motivated you to join the military, and how did those expectations compare to your actual experience?
The real motivation was college money. I was working at a, I don't know if it was Papa Murphy's or it was a K Cafe. Working at one of those fast food, you know,
Papa Murphy's. I remember getting pizzas.
It might have been. I was working at Papa Murphy's, and I was just kind of like, didn't really know what I wanted to do. wasn't quite sure. No, wanted to go to school. Didn't have money. I was like, you know what? Let's just 19-year-old kid. Hey, let's go ahead and see what the Army offers. Oh, hey, look at that, $40,000 for college if you sign a 4-year active, 4-year inactive contract. So that's what I did there. And expectations. It was the Army, really. I mean, you see movies. It's not all the same. As you would see, but there are some similarities. Like I can go back and watch movies like Full Metal Jacket and look at basic training there and see some similarities in what I had to go through.
Yeah, it's not like in Stripes.
No.
That's definitely not realistic.
That is definitely not. But it's funny to watch.
Well, yeah, it's funny. It's cute, but... Yeah, so we'll kind of go back and forth, and I'll kind of answer the same question. So for me, I was in a similar kind of situation. I'd finished high school, didn't really know what I wanted to do, had no specific plans, had no college plans. I was working at a Shell gas station and delivered flowers and stuff like that, just miscellaneous jobs. One of my older brothers had been in the Army. Actually, he was in Vietnam. One of my older sisters, Penny, she had joined up. So after that, I decided, well, you know, maybe that makes sense. I could do something like that. And talked to, I think, the same recruiter that she had. And they, at the time, it was actually pretty good. The draft had just ended, and they actually just were trying to get people to join and keep the numbers up. And so I was able to choose what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. And it almost worked out. I chose X-ray tech. So I was an X-ray tech. I wanted to go to the Panama Canal Zone because that sounded interesting. And somebody I'd talked to had been there, said it was nice. And then the only problem was I wasn't actually in a hospital for X-ray tech. I was in a field unit. So we didn't do a whole bunch of X-rays. I did a lot of guard duty, cleaning trucks, that kind of kind of stuff. But it was okay. It was still a good unit. We had a good time.
Nice.
So it didn't exactly match up to my expectations, but it was still a decent experience for me at that point.
Yeah. And then since we're, you know, veterans and talking about, you know, getting out of everything, the next one that I can think of that we could probably talk about is what was the biggest challenge that you faced transitioning back to civilian life?
Actually, as it turns out, for me, it wasn't a huge challenge, being that I was in completely in peacetime. I didn't have any PTSD issues to deal with, fortunately. I understand a lot of others do. I know you did. It was just a matter of deciding what I wanted to do. When I went in, I was thinking, you know, the Army would teach me X-ray. I could be an X-ray technician in a hospital somewhere. The problem is that the time I spent in the field unit does not count as time toward the 2 years of on-the-job work that I need to do to be able to take the certification and get registered. So I would have had to actually go back probably to school some more and then, you know, have a job somewhere for a couple of years. And I wasn't really looking forward to that. So I got a job at a local Radio Shack store and did a little bit of sales for a while and started playing with the TRS-80 computer, you know, back up to cassette tape. That was exciting. But I started playing with that and taught myself how to program some BASIC and decided I liked computers. And so I registered for school and went to community college for computer programming and basically been in that field for over 40 years now. And it turned out pretty good. It worked out all right for me.
Nice. Yeah, no, my biggest transition to civilian life was just getting used to not being the same. Because when you're in for 4 years, it's a constant, you wake up, you do PT, you eat, you do your job, you do things like that, you take orders, you listen, and then you get out, and then you have just a bunch of time. It was just kind of like, I kind of didn't know what to do, really. I remember you having to prod me to, like, you know, hey, you need to either, you know, go to school or get a job or, you know,
do something. I'm not going to support you the rest of your life.
Move out and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I know eventually I moved out and, you know, went along that path. But I guess the military skills that I learned in there didn't really influence my career, but you can take the responsibility you learn, the attention to detail, things that's drilled into your head during your time in the service, to you can apply it to anything. So I just apply that to whatever I do, which now I'm a systems administrator for internal software that we use in the IT field. So that's kind of what I do with that.
Did your experience in the military change your view of how you look at the world, how you look at life, just things in general?
Yeah, life, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you're going through high school, you really just kind of don't have a care in the world. You went to school, you work a job, you have friends, you hang out, and then you go into the military, especially at a young age. So it drills into your head order. So you get out of the military, you get back into the regular world, and then you look at things that people do, and you're like, was I ever like that? Like, how? Yeah. How was I like that? And then you just look at things different. So it was a very quick, you know, I had to grow up fast. Mm-hmm. So where, yeah, you know, some of the 19 to, you know, 23 or 24 year old people are like, you know, going through college, you know, partying up, living it up, doing things like that. You know, I was, you know, doing guard duties and deployed in combat and, you know, dealing with that kind of stress. Then you get out and it's like, okay, well, I kind of got all my stuff done while I was in the Army. Now I just got to figure out what to do to keep myself active and busy.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, when I was in high school, I pretty much didn't care. You know, I was there, I did enough to pass, but I actually really had, like, you know, C's and D's average in school. Wasn't great. Wasn't as much as I tried to have you kids get when you were growing up, and get A's and B's, do well.
Right.
But, so when I joined the Army, the biggest thing that I think of as what I learned from being there is discipline, self-discipline, and learning to take care of myself and do what needs to be done, as opposed to just kind of sitting around and procrastinating or being lazy about it and things like that. And so, I mean, that's the biggest thing I give it credit for, is kind of straightening me out and giving me some discipline. And so when I got out, then I, you know, after I, you know, like I said, I learned computers at Radio Shack, and then I went to college for it. And there I had a 3.7 or something GPA. It was pretty good. It's actually one class that got me. I took a summer school course that I should have taken a full semester for, tried to rush through it, and it did not go well. But other than that, I did great.
Nice.
But I mean, just the ability to sit down and decide, this is what I need to do, I'm going to do it and get good at it. And I think that's how it helped me the most.
Yeah, those are good, important life lessons as well, because, like I said, you can apply it to anything, whether it's a job or, you know, relationship or friendship or anything. You just, you know what you want to do, and you know you got to get it done, so you just do it.
Exactly, yeah. And so looking back, if you were to give your younger self some advice before joining the military, do you think there's something that you would have told yourself at that point?
Do a little more research before you get swindled in by a $3,000 signing bonus to jump out of planes.
Wreck your knees and things like that.
Yeah, because it's like you think, jumping out of planes. Okay, you see, everyone's seen skydiving, so you think you fall for a little bit, and it's all great and fun. You got plenty of time. People land like feathers, and then you get in, you go to training, and you're like, all right, well, they're going to teach you how to jump out, and they explain the reasons why, which it makes sense. But then in training, you drop from 1,500 feet or something like that, so you still had plenty of time to, free fall and, slow down, do what you need to land. And then you get to the actual service. Like in when I got to my duty station, they drop you from 800 feet with 150 pounds or more worth of equipment. Mine was more because I was communication, so I had radios, batteries, all sorts of things. So they drop you from 800 feet. You free fall for a few seconds. Chute opens up, slows you down enough so you don't really, really injure yourself or die, and then you land and go. So it's. I don't know if I would have. I mean, I don't know if I would have done it again or not. Maybe, because I can't picture my life not having done it. But I would have done more research on that first, and then, maybe did more research on potential jobs that I could, instead of being, hey, this one kind of deals with computers, so you can do this one when it's radios, antennas, phones, running cables, and all sorts of other fun stuff. So I'd do more research like now, but we didn't have access to Google back in the day either. So you really didn't have
True.
much that you could do unless you were to actually talk with people. And I didn't do that.
Yeah, talk with people who have already been there and in this field that you're talking about getting into, doing the things that you're thinking about doing. And now you could just do a quick Google search and find out anything you need to know. But at that point, yes, it would have been more difficult. Mostly, I think the advice I would have given myself is still the same, which is, join up. I mean, maybe I would have chosen differently, chosen the Air Force or something else, possibly. But the Army was good. I had a good experience. But again, the more research is probably the thing that that would have been the case. To be able to know that, oh, well, yeah, I want to go to Panama, but I really don't want to be in field unit. I wanted to work in a hospital. How do I guarantee that I get a hospital job? And maybe that's not even possible. I don't know. But yeah, that kind of thing. So as you move forward from here, I mean, I can talk first about goals and things that, have coming up. What, where am I going to from here? Because I've got the like I said, 40 plus years of experience in software development. And that's gone well. That's served me well. But I'm looking at doing some other things. Like for one thing, this, I mean, Veteran Voices, something I wish maybe I could have started a long time ago, but the idea didn't come to me until more recently. To help other veterans, especially nowadays when the guys getting out have gone through a lot more than I had to go through, and even more than you had to go through sometimes. I know people who've been either physically or seriously mentally damaged by their service and things that happened to them while they were in Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere else. So there's Veteran Voices. Also looking at just starting some other business that I can use to bring in sort of a side income while I'm looking at retirement, because I'm actually looking to not have to go to work for somebody else within the next 1 to well, 3 at the most, but 1 to 3 years. And so that's kind of what I have planned. I got some specific things I'm working on, and we'll just see how they go.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't have that many lofty goals. I still have years I'm going to be, working. So I can't retire yet. So I guess my goals is just to, I don't know. I went in wanting to do the IT thing. So I wanted to, work on the networks and, build cables and fix servers, things like that. And then as I've kind of done that over the years, I'm kind of like, it's not really kind of what I want to do. It's like, I still enjoy the IT field, but I think it's more helping customers, I guess, because the company I work for is a managed services company. So we're basically third party IT for other people. So then you get, you know, hundreds of people shouting at people saying, hey, I need, this is broke, fix it. This is broke, fix it. And I guess I just got kind of burned out on that. So now I want to go more administrative stuff. So that's what I'm doing now. And then eventually get to hopefully a remote, more remote than I am, because I still have to drive into the office every day. And then just to keep doing what I can to just get out of debt. You know, it's a constant thing that a lot of people are dealing with. It's like, I just want to be done with that. Grow less gray hairs. You know, it's already kind of gray here. Trying to avoid it going up here for a while.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes like, you know, I really like gaming, but I'm too late to the game to actually do anything with it. So it's like, I could make a career out of streaming on Twitch, even though I do it on occasion, but doing a little of that part-time too, once I can handle other things and put more brain power to actually entertaining, I hope to get back into that more.
All right. Well, anything else you want to touch on before we call it?
Not much, really. I know that we're, we as in you, are updating the website. So the Veteran Voices website is coming along, a couple of different extra features there. So looking forward to seeing how that continues to evolve over this. And then I know I've talked with at least one buddy of mine who is a veteran that may want to join us one of these times, just to have some conversation, join us on the podcast. So I'll keep working that angle and see if I can bring in some other people, because I think that'd be fun.
All right. Yeah. And I have a couple of people in mind as well that we want to interview / just talk with, really, is what it is. And just see what's going on with them, what they're doing. I know that the couple that I'm thinking about have very specific things that they're doing. One is interested in helping homeless veterans or preventing veteran homelessness, mm-hmm. which is part of what our thing is here. And then the other guy I wanted to have a conversation with already has a thriving business where he helps veterans move on into civilian life and create businesses that some of them become very successful. He has one, if I'm not mistaken, he has $1 billion client, somebody who actually made it really big that he had helped.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
That's.
My friend, he doesn't do anything like that, but he does have a lot of experience, and he's even been talking with me about it too, but of dealing with the VA when it comes to, you know, disability benefits and stuff like that. Cause he's gone through all of the, you know, the interviews and the paperwork. So he's really got a lot of knowledge about how that works and how it worked for him. So even that's been something he could potentially provide some insights on.
Yeah.
On kind of how to do that. Cause that's another thing that a lot of people do. Like I'm really stubborn with that. It's like, there's a lot of people out there that I'm sure are more messed up than I am, you know, that, you know, need to go through the process and, you know, can get that disability and get that money from the VA, you know, for their service and for their stuff that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And me, I just haven't felt like I've really needed that, even though he's kind of prodding me. He's like, hey, you should at least look into it. Cause am I a doctor? Well, no. Well, they have doctors there that can, you know, talk with you and determine, you know, if and how bad things are affecting you and, you know, going through that. So he can at least provide some insights on that, which I think would be really beneficial as well.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Looking forward to that one. All right. Well, I think that's going to cover it for today. And we thank you for tuning in, watching, listening, whichever you do. Mm-hmm. Be sure to check out the website, veteranvoices.us. And look forward to hearing from you if you have comments or anything you want from us. You can write to the email address that'll be listed with this. And we hope to talk to you later.
Yeah. Take it in.
All right.